Welcome to WITCAST, the podcast of the Women Inside Trade Network, an international organization that contributes to the empowerment of women and seeks to address a gender gap that still exists in Brazil and in the world when it comes to international trade. Hello! In this episode of WITCAST, we are going to talk about China and the 20 years since its accession to the WTO in 2001. We invited Ambassador Xiao Jun-yi to give an overview on this subject. Ambassador Yi is one of the most important names in the history of China's participation in the WTO. He was Vice Minister of Commerce, and on that capacity he was involved in China's accession process. He was also China's ambassador to the WTO, and more recently in the WTO Secretariat, he was Deputy Director General of the organization. Currently, the ambassador is in Beijing, advising the Network of Research for International Trade and Investment System. Ambassador Yi talked to Tatiana Prazeres, the co-leader of our WIT International Trade Committee. Tatiana is currently based in Beijing and has a weekly column at the newspaper Folha de São Paulo, in which she writes about China. She was also a senior advisor of the WTO Director General and former Brazilian Secretary of Foreign Trade.
So we're delighted to have with us today Ambassador Yi to take some questions about China's accession to the WTO and to the history of China's participation in the system. Ambassador Yi, what were the concerns, what were the fears back in 2001 in China regarding its accession to the WTO? How did China come to the conclusion that joining the WTO was an effort worth making?
Well, thank you very much for your invitation. As far as I remember, more than 20 years ago, most industries in China were quite weak and vulnerable. China at that time was facing enormous employment pressure. There was widespread concern that China national industries would be strangled in its cradle. To my memory, the most worrisome sectors at that time were agriculture, home appliances, cars, and financial industries. But Chinese leadership resisted the pressure and determined to, one, accept a high level of WTO commitment to market opening, so as to stimulate nationwide reform. Two, comprehensively overhaul its trade policies to abide by the WTO rules. And finally, three, vigorously improve the business environment so as to attract foreign investment. As a result of this efforts and taking advantage of rising economic globalization, China successfully integrated into global value chains and upgraded its manufacturing sectors. In order to facilitate implementation of this top-down decision, Chinese leaders organized WTO trade policy training for government officials at all levels. Actually, I was invited as a former accession negotiator to participate in one of the high-level training courses for ministers and provincial governors in February 2002, which was chaired by the former president Jiang Zemin and former premier Zhu Rongji. I still remember I answered a very interesting question from the current president, Mr. Xi Jinping, who was the governor of Fujian province at that time. The question was whether the WTO rules allowed Fujian province to establish a free trade area with Taiwan. My answer disappointed him a little bit. The answer was no, as the WTO rules request that such agreements have to cover the whole territory of its members. This round of top-down training of WTO rules, as well as China's WTO commitments, profoundly changed the public perception in favor of economic openness. The enormous pressure brought about by market opening forced the Chinese entrepreneurs to strive for better management and innovation to survive. They did everything possible to improve their competitiveness, which led the Chinese economy, including the aforementioned sectors, to experience an unprecedented period of rapid development.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for that and for sharing your own experience in this efforts related to China's accession to the WTO. That's fascinating. So Ambassador Yi, of course, 2021 marks the 20th anniversary of China's accession to the WTO. How has China benefited from joining the organization? And at the same time, how have other WTO members benefited from having China in the club?
Well, from the late 1980s to the early 1990s, when we started WTO accession exercise, China was still in the early exploratory stage of transition from a central planning regime to a market economic system. And Mr. Deng Xiaoping had a very famous saying to guide China's economic reform at that time. I'm sure you heard about it. Cross the river by touching stones. It was also against this background, the Chinese leadership decided to join the multilateral trading system. So to some extent, the multilateral trade rules became an important cross river stone to guide China's economic transformation. The fast economic growth of China in the last 20 years has proved that such a strategy worked pretty well. I believe that was the biggest benefit China got from the WTO. And in bringing China under its umbrella, the WTO took a huge step toward achieving its goal of universal membership and inclusiveness. As a result of China's accession, one of the world's biggest economies is now playing by the same multilaterally agreed rulebook, just as other major trading partners. This is no small achievement, particularly in terms of strengthening global trade governance and the multilateral trading system. China's successful accession has also inspired many other developing countries to join the WTO. Since 2001, both China and the world have seen trade flows rise dramatically, with China experiencing a more than sevenfold increase in the volume of its merchandise exports and a nearly sixfold increase in the volume of its imports. China also became a leading exporter and importer of services after joining the WTO. For all the attention given to China's rise as an export powerhouse, people have focused less on the question of China's imports. Mm-hmm. Let me show you some data on China's imports. From $244 billion in 2001, merchandise imports into China leapt to $2.06 trillion last year, or 12% of world merchandise trade. This is a significant contribution to the world economy, but which is too often overlooked. In order to better understand the economic implication of China's accession, we need only look at the China's rank and share in the exports of major economies over time. For example, China went from being the 11th largest export destination of the US in 2001, accounting for less than 2% of US exports, to being the country's third largest export partner absorbing 9% of US exports. Among developing countries, South Africa is a representative example. China was the country's number one export destination in 2020, which is last year, up from 17th place in 2001. During this period, the share of China in South Africa's exports jumped from 1.7% to 11%. China is even more important to some other emerging economies, including the country you are from, which is Brazil, where nearly 32% of exports go to China. In addition, ever since 2008, China has become the leading export destination for LDCs, absorbing about one quarter of their total exports. So as you can see, the WTO members and the trading system as a whole also benefited enormously from China's trade liberalization and its WTO commitments. Obviously, China's accession created a win-win outcome.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing your views, your thoughts, this interesting data on China's trade, not only exports, but imports as well. Being a Brazilian national myself, I'm quite aware of the importance of China as a destination for Brazilian exports. So about a third, as you mentioned, of Brazilian exports now head to China. And of course, that is also related to China's participation in the WTO. So, for several years, you served as China's ambassador to the WTO and then as deputy director general of the WTO. So that's a period where we were together in the secretariat. So how does China see the role of the WTO over the next 20 years? And how do other members see the role of China in the organization in the future? So now let's look ahead a little bit.
Yes, I have been involved in China's accession since 1984. Actually, I have never left the multilateral trading system in my entire career. My personal experience told me that even during the most difficult period of China's WTO accession negotiations, China did not waver in its belief in trade multilateralism. The WTO will continue playing a crucial role over the next 20 years and beyond to coordinate the trade relationship between China and its trading partners. China's economic future and peaceful rise heavily depends on a strong and well-functioning global trading system. 20 years on, since China has grown into the world's largest trading nation, WTO members' expectations of China are also raised. They want China to take more responsibility for the multilateral trading system and provide more public goods for members. If China chooses to stay standstill on its accession commitments made two decades ago, it would be a great disappointment to WTO members. Fortunately, the Chinese government and the people cherish the core value of trade liberalization and will continue to open up China's markets. For example, a negative list approach to regulate and facilitate FDI has been introduced. In addition, China has actively participated in all WTO joint statement initiatives with the aim at reactivating the negotiating function of the multilateral system. I also expect China to take part in all future endeavors to liberalize trade and to deliver new agreements in the WTO.
Excellent, thank you very much. If I may, let's talk a bit about the WTO reform. So over the past 20 years, of course, China has emerged as a major trading power. Some members argue that WTO rules have not been conceived for a country that has an economic model like China has, like China's unique economic model with a strong state sector. Certain members would like to see the WTO reformed to a quote unquote level the playing field, as you know, including in the areas of subsidies and state-owned enterprises. So how do you see this discussion about China and the WTO reform moving forward?
Well, that's a tough question. Let me offer a few observations on WTO reform. I think the WTO is a global trade organization whose jurisdiction is limited to the trade policies of its members. It does not have the mandate to judge their economic systems and discuss their development models. We need to ask whether debate on economic system could help strengthen multilateral cooperation, or it would only bring geopolitics into the WTO. Is it likely that this discussion will lead to any agreement among members? If the answer is no, then what is the whole purpose of this initiative? I believe that China should be positively engaged in the discussion about subsidies, as long as the agenda is multilateral and balanced between agricultural and manufacturing sectors. China should also be open to discussion on SOEs, as they broadly exist in Asia, in Europe, and in Latin America. The key is to keep the discussion non-discriminatory and ensure the same standard applied. The vast majority of the members believe that the most pressing topics of the WTO reform should be the ongoing fish negotiations, as well as the restoration of the appellate body. In my view, those issues should be the priorities of the WTO reform.
Ambassador Yi, what a privilege to have you with us. Thank you so much for making the time for this interview in a time where everyone here that works with WTO is very busy with many commitments related to the to the anniversary of China's accession to the WTO. Thank you so much for making the time, Ambassador.
Thank you very much, Tatiana, and I hope continue to keep your connection with China.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Ambassador. Thank you.
This was WITCAST, the podcast of the Women Inside Trade Network. I hope you enjoyed our talk and keep following us at www.womeninsidetrade.com.